Let us pray. O gracious Holy Spirit, shape and bless the humble and human words I speak and the thoughts, feelings, and responses of those who hear, that this might be a time when we feel you refreshing the light in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Across the country these past few days, there have been many candles flickering in the cold and the rain and the darkness. As we as a nation mourn the death of many Canadians lost in the crash of the Ukrainian Airlines Flight 752. In Ottawa, here Toronto, here Edmonton, and here in Vancouver. It's amazing and part of the sign of this world how an event that happens half a world away can so intimately affect so many of our families and communities and neighborhood. This happened indeed to our Iranian or Persian community, and yet they were our dentists and our professors, our students, our neighbors, sisters and brothers. This is the homage outside of the Amir Bakery in Vancouver. The owner of the bakery, Amir Passavand, his wife and daughter were on that plane. Aisha and Fatima, who was 17, about to turn 18 years old, a high school student. That comes close to us all. And our flame flickers a little bit. Our wicks burn dimly. But it isn't only such geopolitical tragedy that causes us to feel like a bruised reed sometimes. There are many other events in our world, in our neighborhoods, in our hearts that can affect us this way. This is, after all, midwinter. We're in January now. I think January itself poses challenges for people. We're coming up to that reputedly the most depressing day of the year, Blue Monday. It's January 20th, 2020, if there's a significance in that this year. It doesn't have to be a date. I know many who are grieving right now in our congregation. I know many who are dealing with illness and fears about getting older or challenges in their lives. We are vulnerable. We are human beings. And often in this world, our wicks threaten to go out, and sometimes it's hard to find the light to go on. Is your wick burning low? I love this passage from Isaiah. It talks about the bruised reed and the burning wick, which is really comprehensive in a way, because that word for bruise speaks of what's going on inside, and that dimly burning wick is what's going on outside. The fuel is getting low. Together we're affected both outside and within. And it's not easy sometimes. The beautiful and amazing thing about the way our God comes to us, we think of all these geopolitical tensions going on, the threats and brinkmanship and saber rattling, which is so much a part of the history of the world, where nations turn their plows into swords and their pruning hooks into spears. I think not too long ago, when that word or phrase shock and awe first made headlines, it was actually a strategy of war whereby a nation would overwhelm another nation with its power to put them into submission. It was the doctrine of bombing used by the Nazis to pound into submission the people of that island which held out against them. It was an attempt by even the Allies to pound in submission the civilian population of Germany. It only seemed to increase resolve on either side. And there is so much collateral damage. And funny how that collateral damage always ends up being our sisters and brothers, our dentists and our bakers and our professors and our sons and daughters. So God doesn't come in shock and awe. Well, sure, there was an angelic choir, but they only appeared to some shepherds on a hill. The real work of God was going on in a manger. And today that story continues with this Galilean peasant who approaches John the Baptist, who is turning the world upside down and trying to create a new Israel. And when this one comes to him to be baptized, he, in Matthew's gospel, hesitates. You should be baptizing me, and I'm to baptize you? And Jesus tells them, let it be so now, for it is right and proper in this way to fulfill all righteousness. It's important to understand that that word righteousness, as it's used here in Matthew's gospel and as it is used in our reading from the prophet Isaiah, isn't a term about morality. It's a term about relationship. It is proper in this way for me to take you by the hand. It is proper in this way that relationship might be restored between God and all people. And so he was baptized in the rather murky waters of the Jordan, just as our lives are murky and unclear sometimes. God did not withhold the divine self from entering into our situation, but took our mortality, our human pilgrimage, our sin upon himself, and plunge right in his gentle, patient, relentless way. It's a beautiful thing to know you're not alone. When I was a child, I used to get terrible migraines. And at that time, we didn't have any of this wonderful migraine medication. You can take a pill and have it go away. And I know for some who still get migraines, that is not the case. Those pills quite often don't work. And as a child, nothing worked for me except as I moaned in pain, my mother would come in and she would patiently, and you know, as a child, you never understand these things, but it must have been hour after hour that she would sit by me and simply slowly rub my arm up and down. Well, the pain didn't go away, but I was consoled. I wasn't alone. And the world changed. Isaiah tells us he will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. There are three verbs there. Cry also has the meaning shriek. He won't scare you. He won't lift up his voice. He won't outshout you or make it heard in the street. He won't publicize himself. That's a Hebrew triplet there, making an emphatic point. He doesn't come to scream at us. You know how it is when your teacher used to come into your room and wouldn't say a word, just stand there, and everyone would eventually get quiet. I don't know if that happens anymore. God doesn't come to add to the din. God comes and speaks in that still, quiet voice until we listen. And God has time on God's side. And then after it tells us a bruised reed he will not break, or a dimly burning wick he will not quench, he tells us about himself, he will not grow faint or be crushed. That's the same two words. He will not be bruised, and he will not be quenched. It may look that way sometimes. I mean, he died on a cross. But that's the light shining. That's the depth of love and commitment, which is hard for us to get our minds and hearts around, but it is the declaration that whatever you do to me and however you try to outshout me, even if you try to kill me and move me out of this world, my light shines and I will not be crushed. And it's good to know when you feel alone and afraid. This is Antonia Bundy. She works in the Lafayette, Indiana Police Department. She was and is a 911 dispatcher. And just about a year ago today, she received a call from obviously a very young person, a child's voice. He said to her, "I've had a really bad day today." And she wanted to keep this person talking, so she answered, "Bad in what way? What is happening?" Said, "I just had a really bad day at school today." It was a slow time right now. There weren't a lot of calls coming in to the dispatch center. She did not scold him and tell him, "This is not a 911 call. You are to hang up right away." She said, "What's wrong?" He said, "I just have so much homework." She said, "Well, what is it?" He said, "Oh, it's math and it's fractions, and I can't do fractions." And she said, "Well, you know, I really liked math in high school." She was 23 years old, wasn't long from high school herself. "I really like math in school. Maybe I can help." "What's your problem?" He said, "I don't understand. This is 1/4 + 3/4. He said, "I think I can help you with that." And she did. Helped him with a few other problems. And before she could get his name, he said, "Thank you. I realize I shouldn't have called you with this." She says, "That's all right. We're here to help." And he hung up. It's nice in this world to experience a connection. When you feel overwhelmed, to know that you are not alone. This is Jack Lambert, Lieutenant Jack Lambert. He retired from the New York City Police Department after 33 and a half years, but the last 14 years of them were as the chief negotiator for New York City. And he spoke of what makes a good negotiator. Here he is talking a man out of jumping. He was at Times Square and he was about to jump, and this was about 2014. He said this: "The very good negotiators, I think, are the ones with the life stories." He trains people now in negotiation, and he trains them to remember their own life stories, to remember when they were bruised, when they felt like a dimly burning wick. He realized early on as a police officer walking the beat in Brooklyn that he got a better response with a smile than with a harsh look. And it was also early on when he started to confront his own baggage and look at people in a different way. He said one of his early assignments was capturing a fare beater. We have them here in Toronto too, you know, the people who don't pay their fare at the TTC and cost us all a little more. Well, he had an inborn resentment of street people. They were smelly, they could be violent and dangerous. He didn't like them. And this one fare beater he tracked down and arrested, and he took his knapsack from him and began to search through it, and inside he found not a weapon, but a play that he had written. It was called A Basket of Crabs, and it was about this man's story of trying to climb out of that basket in which he was trapped. He said in 2 minutes that man went from being a disgusting, ugly, homeless person to a playwright struggling in life. He began to see everyone differently. Throughout his 14 years, he had many successes and he had a number of failures. But every time he approached a person, he approached them not with shock and awe, not with his revolver drawn, but with his story in his heart, seeking their story, that he might know them and have a connection where they could realize they were not alone. And so the almighty power of God is revealed to us, not in thunder and lightning, but in the one who comes into a manger, in the one who enters the Jordan and submits to baptism to share his story and listen to our story, that we might know in the midst of the tragedies of this life and world and the stupidity of nations and in the heartbreak of our own lives, that we are not alone. Let us pray. O gracious God, a bruised reed even you will not break, and a dimly burning wick you will not quench. For you know us and you love us. And we give you our thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.